The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Linda Godsey explains how regret is the past crippling the future, and dealing with it requires a new perspective.
He reminded me, first of all, that he was a perfect father, and he put his children, Adam and Eve, in the garden in a perfect environment with a perfect parent, and they blew it.
Don't let your past cripple your future. Letting go of regret, next on Life Today.
Thank you so much, and we are glad to have this opportunity to share with you. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. We have a friend that for many, many years worked in our ministry, and actually for a period of time, Betty, she did our makeup. She left because I became too much of a challenge, you know. Betty and I just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, you know, this summer, the 18th through the 20th of July. Now, would you please note that? Because it really is important. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you something. Those days could be as important, if not the most important, of your life, because it could change everything in your life for the better, for the glory of God, and for the betterment of a lot of other people. It's our 50th anniversary ministry conference, and of course, we've been married 50 years. You want to show them, maybe they can get a close-up. Show them what you got. I want everybody to know I gave you a very, very pretty ring. See this? Now, after I bought the ring, she couldn't afford to give me anything. So here she got this pretty ring, and this is, in case you don't know, that is her birthstone, and it comes in two colors, but since it was our golden wedding anniversary, I gave her the one that was gold. Y'all think that's pretty? Y'all like that? You like it? I love you. So, now, I'm asking you to give us those days to share Beth Moore, Christine Kane, Governor Mike Huckabee, who was ministering here with me a long time ago, to hear Sammy Rodriguez, to hear all of our guests speak, Dr. Tony Evans, Andy Andrews. Don't miss it. Well, Linda Godsey, who worked on me, like I said, finally gave up and helped Betty, is a wonderfully gifted counselor. And she is now a part of the Gateway Ministry staff and works in the, really, the Freedom Ministries, which helps people do exactly what we believe and what Beth Moore teaches and what Jesus said He came to do, set people free. Her story became not something she just taught and helped people with, but because letting go, seeing regret from God's perspective, she shared it so effectively that the people she was sharing it with at Gateway and other places where she would go to assist other churches, they wanted her to write it. So Linda Godsey has been doing this, and she has blessed us not only with her love for the Lord. She formerly worked with Jack Hayford out in California, very good friends. She blessed us not only with what she said and her story as she would talk to us, but she blessed us as she began to counsel people, tell us what God was doing in their lives. There's nothing too big for God. I'm anxious for you to hear her story and meet Linda Godsey. Would you welcome Linda to Life Today? Linda, give us a hand. You're not back behind the camera. You're right here.
No, I'm right here.
My lipstick off. I can kiss you.
You get it all over? You want to do it again? I'm excited for you.
Thank you. I'm excited
that what you were doing, because I know many times we would talk when you were trying to make me look better.
Yeah.
And you would tell me your heart. You'd tell me what God had done in your heart, but you always wanted, you wanted to help others. You wanted them to know what you had experienced could be for them.
That's,
I believe, why you've been led where you are today. Tell us a little bit about your story. When you talk about regrets, did you have any?
I had a few, yes. And I didn't know that I had them. That's the thing that was the key there. But I knew God had been preparing me for ministry for over 30 years. And even during the time when I was here working with you guys, you know, God had put it in my heart to help people. But I had some areas where I was really stuck, where I felt insecure, inadequate, and just couldn't seem to move forward. And so what happened, what really kicked this whole thing off, was one time before I went on staff at Gateway, I went to lunch with one of our pastor's wives. And we went because they were leaving to go pastor in another part of the country or another part of the state. And so as we were having lunch, we had a great time. And right toward the end of the conversation, she looks at me and she says, "Linda, God doesn't want you to live in regret anymore." And I said, "Really?" And I didn't know that I was. So it was such a shock to me. So 2 weeks later, I'm going home late at night from a church conference. And all of a sudden, James and Betty, the presence of God filled the car. I mean, you could cut it with a knife. And the Lord said to me, he said, "Linda, why don't you ask me about those regrets, because you don't even know what they are." And I thought, wow, now there's a concept. Ask God about the prophetic word, you know. But we tend to do that sometimes. We think we know what God is saying to us, and I didn't have a clue. And so I said, "Well, God, tell me, how do you see those regrets?" And the first thing that he said was, he said, "You regret having not finished your college education right out of high school." And the right out of high school was the key, because he wasn't saying I was lacking in education, but mine had not been the traditional experience that I had compared myself to everyone else, because I had a couple of years of Bible college. I had 2 years of business that got me some great administrative jobs. I even went and studied sociology when I was doing a lot of counseling. I just thought, you know, I needed to understand more about the human psyche and all of that. And then I became a makeup artist, and I also became a color analyst. And that's just a part of the list. It goes on and on. So I won't bore you with the rest. But the Lord was saying, you know, you didn't have that traditional experience. And so it's made you to feel unqualified and that you can't do what I'm calling you to do. And I said, "Boy, Lord, that's really right." So again, remembering what the Lord said, that I didn't finish the degree right out of high school, I said, "Lord, how do you see that? What is your perspective on that regret?" And he said, "Neither did I. But I was called and anointed of my Father." He said, "Linda, don't look back. You move forward, because I have a glorious future ahead for you." And it was just like, it was just like somebody pouring warm oil over me that day. And so then I said, "Lord, what was the second regret?" And he said that I had just felt that my life had not had a direction to it, and that I regretted that. And that was part of what made me feel so inadequate. And so as I asked the Lord about that, he said, "You feel like that you have gone from, instead of going from A at its beginning to Z at the completion," he said, "your life's just kind of been all over the place, and it's made you feel that way." And so I said, "Well, Lord, how do you see that?" And he says, "Well, the letters haven't been in the order that I would have placed them if you'd been 100% on track." Mm. He said, "But all the letters are there, and all the components are there that will form the entire alphabet." He said, "I want you to just move forward and know that I'm going to take you where I want you to go. And I don't want you to live in that regret anymore." And it was like, I can't explain what happened in the spirit realm that night, but it was something really big. I felt kind of like Humpty Dumpty when all the parts go back together again. And I just felt a new release to be who God made me to be. You know, sometimes you just can't explain exactly what it is that God does. He knows how these little lies are woven into the innermost parts of your being, into the tapestry of your life, and how they affect you and the way that you think. And you don't necessarily know all of that until the Holy Spirit shines his light into those dark crevices of your soul, and you begin to see the truth of what God's saying to you.
When you're talking to people about regret, what are you finding typical of people? And if they have a regret, are they being stuck or held captive at that point?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times they are. And some regrets are real obvious. You know, I spent too much money out of my checking account. Now I can't pay my water bill. You know, that's pretty obvious. Or I've been eating too much and I've gained too much weight. But most of the time, I think a lot of the regrets that we deal with are regrets that are so interwoven into us. You know, just like the ones that he showed me, they can almost seem insignificant unless you understand how much they had crippled my life. And regret is the past crippling the future. And, you know, I was talking to one of the gals in the back a while ago. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. Think about the regret he had to have had to have killed all of those Christians, the way he persecuted Christians, even after he came to Christ. That had to eat at his soul. But you remember what he said? He said, forgetting those things which are behind, he said, and I move toward the future, and I move toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he was going for the prize that he knew God had with him, for the reward that God had for him.
He said he was chief of sinners, but he also understood the grace of God to understand that he was totally, totally freed and totally cleansed. He could see that. He could see where he was, but he wasn't stuck there.
That's right.
He had the regret.
He wasn't.
But I feel like a lot of people held captive. You get back over your life, Betty. How do you identify with what Linda shared?
Well, I think that, you know, I agree with you that most of us do probably have some regrets in our life. You know, our own insecurities cause regrets because we will not step out in faith a lot of times when God's directing us a certain way, because we feel so insignificant, or we failed in this area, and then guilt sets in.
Yes.
And guilt can paralyze you.
Absolutely.
So I think they're closely tied there.
That's
the regret
true.
Becomes a guilt.
You talked about even sharing your book, and some of you've shared your testimonies had regrets even related to your children.
Yes. Yes. One of the third regret that was in the book was I regretted not having trained my children more effectively in the things of God early on. You know, sometimes we come to the Lord, even if we're born again, we may really get into a life of obedience with the Lord at a later time. And so we miss some of those formative years. And I had this core belief system that unless I was perfect, that my kids would suffer the consequences of that. And the thing that the Lord showed me when I brought that, he showed me that regret. That was the third one, in fact. As he showed that to me, then I said to the Lord, "Lord, how do you see that regret?" And he just told me, he said, "You know, the influences of your children have been from the evil one, or from the enemy, and from the world." He said, "They didn't come from you." He said, "You gave them everything you could. You couldn't give them something that you didn't possess." And he says, "Now," he said, "you've done your job. Now let them do theirs." And here's the things he reminded me of. There were a couple of things, really. He reminded me, first of all, that he was a perfect father, and he put his children, Adam and Eve, in the garden in a perfect environment with a perfect parent, and they blew it. And he also reminded me that my mother, who's here in the audience today, that she had prayed for me probably every day of my life. But it was me. It was my choice to work at my own salvation with fear and trembling. She couldn't do that for me. And that's been so freeing to a lot of people that struggle with blaming themselves for the...
You're not talking about working for your salvation.
No.
Don't misunderstand that. You can't do anything to earn it. Can't do anything good enough to get it. When she's saying work out her salvation, that's working really out the release.
Yes.
And really the revelation and the testimony of that salvation, where it's more than just something you said, but it's a reality, and the expression of that life within begins to work out of you, and you begin to really reveal Jesus and see him lifted up through your life. It's not like you're earning something. It's releasing him in the fullness of his glory. It's just the river of God's life flowing out. And a lot of people never let it start.
Yeah,
and they really stay stuck. It's like they're stuck in a ditch. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. This is the thing that's so important. It doesn't matter what you've done, how deep the ditch is you dug and fell in or jumped in, or if somebody pushed you in, like Beth Moore says when she's teaching Breaking Free. It doesn't matter how you get in the ditch or how you get in the pit. It's God's grace that'll get you out. You don't just dig your way out. You really admit, "I've made a mess. I've missed the mark. I've failed. I'm not going to live in the past failure. I'm not going to live here." He died for you. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave his life to give you life. He paid for all the ways you fouled up and messed up. And you don't need to live stuck regretting what you did. He died and is raised to live in you and take you beyond that regret and beyond that place. And Linda, I think that's the joy you're experiencing. And then the very thought that you would actually be able to help other people. Mm-hmm. And their stories, in many ways, are more amazing than your story because
yeah, definitely.
It's like they came out of a pit that's so mm-hmm. obvious to mm-hmm. everybody. They wouldn't even have had to guess at it. They just knew it jumped out at them. And you're seeing people in the Freedom Ministries be set free. There's Linda's website. And if you'd say, well, I'd like for her to come and help us sometime, well, that really is what our church does. You want to get the book? Well, then there's a way to get it. You may find it in the bookstores. But would you say thanks to Linda for sharing her story and just really helping everybody to literally find the freedom God wants them to have? Our whole ministry, really, I think, honestly, it's... I've told you, and I know some of you have heard me talking with Betty after we lost our daughter, we learned something else that's very significant about that passage that Jesus quoted from Isaiah when he talked about coming to set captives free, you know, set at liberty those that have been in prison. But the first phrase in Isaiah is, I came to bind up the brokenhearted. And see, when you really had your heart broken, no explanation for it, only Jesus can bind it up. I really want you to hear, that's what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to be stuck in your pain. He doesn't want you to live with a heart shattered and crushed. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to heal your broken heart, bind it up, the wounds. Let Him do it, Father. Everyone right now, with regrets, with hurt, with pain, in bondage, with a broken heart, reveal yourself as the healing balm, the healing oil to bind up the broken heart and to set people free. In Jesus' name, receive that. He loves you so much. Phone number there. You want someone to pray with you. God may have spoken to you just like He spoke to Linda through somebody talking. You say, I want help. Betty and I are going to ask you to do something. That means as much to us as anything we'll ever ask you to do. I want to ask you to rescue somebody. You see, it's one thing to be held in bondage by your own personal defeat. It's another thing to be taken captive like a slave. Oftentimes, as little children who've been told, we're going to help your child have a good education and make some money, and they're telling this to very poor families. Or they will capture a girl, or whatever age, and they take them in total bondage. You're going to see such a story. Don't miss the ending, because you can rewrite the future for many people. Listen closely.
If brokenness had a face, it would be Darlene's. Her spirit, her will, her body, all at the cruel hand of sex trafficking.
Trauma nhưng mà người dân bên tai bên nam người dễ thấy dây ban sáng lắm nhưng bạn chẳng bảo kê
hào tới mềm tập bại mềm ê chở. ខ្លួនអីមានប្របួយនេះទៅបើយើងមានម្ដាយអីពីមុនចេះត្រាក់ត្នោមតែពេលទៅដល់នោះយើងរួមទៅអត់មានបងប៉ុន្តែគាត់ថាបើអ្នកណារឹងដូចជាចេះខ្លាំងមានតែតកាយនឹងយកទៅលក់ឲ្យគេអ្នកនៅ ອັນນັ້ນມີການໄພຄາອັນໃດຂໍຍັງແມ່ນສັງຄົມກໍມາເກີດສັງຄົມມັນຫຍັງຈັ່ງແມ່ນບໍ່ບໍ່ໃຫ້ບູດາສັງຄົມກະປິນຈັດ.
You see, when I listen to something like that, I don't I don't take it lightly at all. I want her to be free. Now, if I want it, imagine how much God wants it. And Betty, I don't have to just wish that we could see girls like that set free who are crying out, I don't want to live in this hell anymore.
I'm so sorry.
You know, it's like a lot of people live like, I don't care if I go to hell. They just go around telling people to go to hell. They live like hell. They act like they're proud of it. That girl's really tasted hell. And everywhere God is not, you got a little glimpse of hell. But everywhere sin and horrible, seductive, abusive practices prevail, you've got a hellishness that's almost indescribable. She doesn't want it. She was like, how can I get out of this? Well, I want to tell you something. Because of someone like you, maybe you'd think you'd be the last person in the world that could have been an answer to her prayer, but somebody like you was, we got her out. She's not in there anymore. She is free. And she's free because of the love of God, not because she read a love letter or she read a verse in the Bible or because somebody preached God loves you. Somebody showed her the love of God. The missionaries that God has called us to support. And here's what we do. We go out, hopefully, looking through the eyes of Jesus, and we see someone with the hand of God on them and the love of God in their heart, and they just want to rescue the perishing. And we help them do it. Because they don't have time to say, would you help us? They're too busy rescuing people. And then all of a sudden, they find somebody that noticed and said, we'll help you do it. And it isn't just me and Betty. You see, we have eyes to see. We have the cameras to capture it and bring it back to caring people. But it's people like you who say, we'll do it. We'll support the missionaries. This is the last week for this emphasis on rescue life. We need your help. It takes $128 per child. Now, this is what the missionaries tell us as we break it out. If we can get every $128 we can put there, we can rescue. Betty, the missionaries have pointed out we've got 6,000 that we know we can rescue. This is what we can handle. A missionary says, I can get that many. Another one says, I can do this. Another this. And many of them are working in places we can't tell you where they are. Would you dial that number? Would you give $128? Could you possibly rescue 10 and give $1,280? And then let me tell you this. Our Life Center reaching out, and I just got a letter who's congratulating us for our 50th anniversary from the missionaries in the Ukraine, telling us where they had just been and what they'd seen. And they said, Betty and James, I knew you were the ones that helped us rescue them. And I saw others I knew you'd help. Who would help? You would. Would you please dial that number? This is the last week. We have some gifts for you. But you're going to give that girl the freedom that she cried out for. You're going to be the answer not only to her prayer, but her heart cry. You're going to give her freedom. We're going to bless you with gifts that will help you grow in your spiritual life. But I'm asking you to make the largest gift you can today during this last week. Thank you for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent boys and girls, many very young, are being forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can help reach, rescue, and restore thousands of children from the horrors of the sex trade in Thailand, Cambodia, India, Ukraine, and many other nations. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help reach, rescue, and restore one more child from the horrors of their kidnappers. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Free to Be Me, Betty Robison's updated account of how she moved from fear and insecurity to true freedom. You'll also receive the companion journal for your quiet time and daily reflections. Your gift of $128 or more to help rescue a child, be sure to request your copy of the Life Application Study Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help rebuild the Life Center in Ukraine destroyed by fire, or $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request the limited edition bronze sculpture titled Christian. This is the last week, so please call, write, or make your gift online.
So this is my first time in Southeast Asia, and my very first opportunity to come face to face with the victims of sex trafficking here. The girls that I met in the brothel really expressed so much of feeling trapped, feeling hopeless, feeling like there was no way out for them. And I can just imagine how hopeless that felt. You know, I even asked one of them what help looked like. What would it look like to be helped out of this situation? And she couldn't even come up with an answer, because to her, there was no help. There was no option. The body of Christ could totally change the world when it comes to modern day slavery. But we have to be willing to let our hearts be broken for these girls.
From the depth of my heart, I want to thank you. I pray that you've made the gift God put on your heart. Always use your bank card like it's a check. And do remember this, lifetoday.org. You can go on there anytime, make the gift. You can watch Life Today online. A lot of you don't know that, and hopefully you will. Thank you so much for watching. Remember the anniversary conference in July. Go online and register. I hope we'll see you there. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Linda Godsey for being here. Linda,
thank you.
Thanks so much for
being
here. We love you. Her book, Letting Go, there's her website. Go on, visit her.
Join James and Betty Robison July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as Governor Mike Huckabee, Pastor Tony Evans, International Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, New York Times best-selling author and speaker Andy Andrews, and many more, including musical guests such as Big Daddy Weave. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robison. Go to lifetoday.org.
Is this a God that I can trust, who knows everything there is to know about me?
Best-selling author Paul Young, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.